Welcome everybody back to the Mindful Muscle Podcast. We have Christiana here from Uniquely Able Fitness, and she has a story to tell us. Jody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to this interview because the program that she has founded means the world to me. It's an adaptive fitness program, and my son happens to be one of the athletes in the Downingtown chapter. I've been a big fan and supporter of this program since it started in our community in Downingtown last June, but this is my first time actually talking to Christiana, and I'm so excited that you came on to our show today.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Can you share the story behind the creation of Uniquely Abled Fitness?
Yeah, absolutely. So really taking it back to its very beginning, I was fortunate to grow up alongside my sister who has Down syndrome. And truly her presence was always just a light and a joy wherever we went. So, you know, whether it was who we met, who interacted with her, or wherever we went, somebody was picking up on the energy she bring and just always would say that she was just made their day or was just such a light part of their life. So I always just had the pleasure of growing up alongside that. As I grew older, you know, I started to just observe the world around me more and more. And our society is making a lot of progress, including individuals like my sister into just our culture. But there's always ways to improve. And so being involved in the CrossFit community later in life during my college years, you know, I started to get interest in the coaching side of things. I went to some of their trainings and whatnot, including their adaptive training, which was excellent, such a good training program. But I did notice a gap when it came to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The CrossFit community served the individuals with physical disabilities really, really well. But I felt that there was this lack for some of the, a lot of times they say like the invisible disabilities, and some not invisible, like Down syndrome kids, obviously you can see that they have special needs, but you can't always see what those needs are. And so despite the inclusive nature of the CrossFit methodology, like I just saw that there needed to be someone who was tailoring this program to individuals like my sister. So I felt compelled to kind of create a space in my home gym in St. Louis at the time where these individuals could thrive in a fitness environment. So I started with a small chapter at that gym of, I actually started with one athlete. Over time, the program gained some momentum, and eventually we caught the attention of a CrossFit media platform called The Morning Chalk Up, which is a journal in the CrossFit community. And ultimately that sparked interest from so many other people across the US and Canada who were like-minded and had similar passions. And so this demand of help me start this in my own space kind of led to what is now the Uniquely Abled Fitness Corporation side of things, where our vision is now to support various satellite communities of uniquely abled athletes that are led by passionate coaches who can help foster healthier lifestyles in their athletes. So that's kind of the big picture, really starting from my sister, who I just had the privilege of growing up alongside, and now to what is serving over 120 athletes across the US and Canada. So I feel really grateful for that. Just the way that my sister's life inspired a movement. So that's kind of the awesome. Big picture of how the story begins.
Wow. How many chapters do you currently have, and when did the second chapter start?
Yeah, so we have 8 pending 9 chapters currently. The first chapter the first individual who reached out to me was the chapter leader in New Brunswick, Canada. And that CrossFit Journal launched an article in 2021. And she reached out not long after it was posted to say, hey, I would really love if you would help me facilitate this in my own gym. Is there a way that you are willing? Is there a way you could do that for me? And so she really came alongside me, and we workshopped what's helpful for me to do, what's not helpful, what are services that would benefit you, what are things that maybe you can do on your own. So just, it was a really great relationship between her and myself to, as I was envisioning potentially doing this for other people, finding what was going to be most helpful in the process of watching a chapter.
Okay, let me ask you a question before we continue to dive down this way. How were you in fitness? Like, what's your personal fitness attitude? You know, how long have you been working out, or when did you pick it up yourself?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I was always in sports. I really loved being active as a kid. When I got to college, I kind of just did the same old, like, you go to the gym, you try and figure out what workout you want to do, and you're kind of intimidated by the person next to you, that whole thing. So absolutely did way too many crunches and Russian twists in the gym during college to try and combat the freshman 15. But I ultimately stumbled upon CrossFit through a coworker who introduced me to his daughter, who's now one of my closest friends. And she got me involved in the CrossFit community, which really just inspired a love for fitness that I think was always there, that I just didn't have maybe the platform to let it flourish. And so I really fell in love with CrossFit, the way that it's adaptable to different seasons of life. And you can do it with no equipment, or you can do it with lots of equipment. So her and I together actually helped foster a CrossFit community in our college atmosphere. Okay. So we rented out it was like an upstairs gym that all the athletes used, and we had to like fight for our time to be up there, but we led classes, and that small space has now turned into what is now a CrossFit affiliate that has its own warehouse in the town that our college is. So that has been, you know, kind of all along my passion for creating a CrossFit community has kind of been a part of my journey. And then just finding the confidence in myself along the fitness journey has been really cool, to just learn more about what I'm capable of and be able to just find joy in that exercise, which not everybody finds that. Yeah. But I think that's what keeps it sustainable. Mm-hmm. So I've really enjoyed the process of learning about movement, and actually inspired me to change my major to exercise science and kinesiology. So really changed the trajectory of my life just purely by stumbling into this community.
What were you originally going to school for before that change?
I was in the bio pre-med route. I had thought about being like a physician's assistant or a nurse of some sort. And I really, really appreciate healthcare workers. I'm not cut out for it. I learned that fairly quickly. And I also, in the process of shadowing and learning more about that world, I realized that I found myself quickly frustrated with the defensive side of medicine, and had this common question in my head of, if someone can do something about their general health, why aren't they? And who is helping them get there? And so I kind of realized that my passion lied more on the preventative side of exercise, nutrition, things that can prevent long-term chronic illness. And I think that also, just combined with the timing of finding a CrossFit community for myself, was just a really good pairing to change that course of my life.
And in changing your course of your life, and I think this is why I was asking your fitness background in the beginning, at what point did you notice that obviously fitness is becoming your passion, that it clicked towards your sister? Because you had alluded to earlier that, you know, you saw in her a need for it. What turned the light bulb on?
Yeah, so this is a really unique part of my story. So I truly was just I was on the phone with my sister and was really wrestling with whether or not to change my major. She was asking how I was doing. I was honest with her. She's 5 years younger than me, so she wasn't quite on the same wavelength, like, because like college wasn't really in her head. So I'm sure she wasn't quite thinking on the same level of like, this is a big change, but she was still hearing me out. And I just remember saying, I want to do something with exercise, but I don't know what to do. And so I'm just trying to figure that out. And she goes, well, you like exercise and you love me and my friends, and that's cool. It was just a very simple statement, but it like clicked for me that, oh my goodness, like what if I was able to work with the population that my sister is in and also do that with exercise? Like, what if I could do both of those things? And so I worked with a woman named Krista, and her son had Down syndrome, has Down syndrome. His name's Matthew. And so they, working at the school, she and I connected, and I was like, could I train your son and just kind of see if this is something that I could do long term? And I just kind of want to see how it works. And so she volunteered her son pretty readily. He's the youngest of four boys, and so he was very excited to keep up with his brothers, and so he's pretty motivated. So we got him in the gym about twice a week, and I was able to train him for 2 years in my time in college, and he is now my brother-in-law. So I married his brother, and that woman is now my mother-in-law. So it is like a really crazy part of my story, that like the threads just really wove in a really unique way. So yeah, and my brother-in-law Matthew and my sister are now dating. So it's just like one of those things that just orchestrated beautifully, and all through
a new meaning of fitness. Keeping it in the family.
Oh my goodness. I just, it's just still blows our minds. Like, our families talk about it all the time, like just how life changing, like all of that was for everybody. So it's been a gift.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm grateful for the way things worked out. So
I love it. What are the benefits of adaptive fitness programs like Uniquely Able Fitness for men and women with intellectual disabilities?
Great question.
Yeah, I think the obvious benefit is that these individuals, like everybody else, like you, me, need fitness in their life to help, you know, fight some of the chronic illnesses that are in our world today. Obesity being one of the number one ones that we see, especially in populations like Down syndrome population, that can be a risk factor really early on. And so from just a general health standpoint, fitness is a really great vehicle to help fight off some of those long-term diseases and illnesses, which in turn helps these athletes become more independent for a longer period of time. They don't have to rely as much on other people helping them through their medical needs if they are living an active and healthy lifestyle. I think the second, and I think a lot of our coaches would agree that this has been the most impactful, and I think it's the most obvious one to our coaches, is the social impact has been really, really fun to watch. When you're in the IDD community or the intellectual developmental disability community, you have a lot of athletes who get overstimulated really quickly or may find social settings really, really overwhelming. And so then you're putting them in this program with a ton of other kids. There's barbells and there's music, and it can be probably a recipe for disaster for someone who's easily overstimulated, right? But the community aspect and the fact that they're doing it alongside their peers, and they have coaches who believe in them and help empower them to believe in themselves, is something that I think is a huge, huge impact long term. I think it helps open the door for really good relationships for the athletes. It helps them overcome a lot of their own internal barriers as well. And so even from like a social perspective, you're getting such a huge impact long term on how these athletes interact with the world around them and the people around them. And so that's been something that we've all just really loved to watch as the programs run through different chapters, and to hear some of those success stories and just be able to just applaud the coaches for enabling a space for those athletes to thrive in, and then also for their peers for being equally open with one another, and just kind of taking that step in vulnerability as they do hard things together. So I would say those are the two primary impacts that I've seen.
No, and that's powerful. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I just wanted to say real quick, that's powerful because, you know, for Jody and myself, as we were talking off air, community is so important and it helps keep you going. And so I love that you've picked up on that, that the community has become important to them as well. Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah.
For the listeners who may not be aware, I take photos at the 10:30 a.m. Sunday class sessions at CrossFit Rock Solid. And I've been pretty much doing it since it started last summer. And I, because I'm up close with these kids, I have seen one athlete who barely spoke to anybody when he started. And now every single time all the other athletes come in, he excitedly says all of their names. He lights up. He holds hands with other kids or gives them hugs. And it's just amazing to see that difference. And for me as a mom, last school year, sometimes my son Elijah would have a hard time sitting still in class. And when I had his last individual education plan meeting with his teachers and they read how his behavior was last year, they said, I can't believe this is the same kid, because he's such a joy in class and he's a delight. And he actually took interest in student council and was nominated as representative. Wow. And this is like a different kid. Like, that's he's amazing. Always been sweet, but if I would let him, he would be on his iPad all day, every day. Right. And this gives him a break to do something. But also, because I work out so much, he, right before Coach Ashley Long, who is an absolute joy at Rock Solid, I absolutely adore her.
She's the best.
He showed an interest in working out, like, because, Mom, can I go with you to your CrossFit? Can I go with you to your gym? And it was just like perfect timing when I saw her talk about this program. And as a parent, I didn't have to worry about, will this coach accept my child if he acts slightly different than other kids? No, his differences are embraced and loved. And it's such a comfort as a parent.
Awesome. It is.
That makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah. Let me ask, earlier you were mentioning about obesity in this population. Is that common? I know, because most of the people I know with Down syndrome, we also have, I have a cousin, Chloe, who has Down syndrome. She's a little bit overweight. Her sister, Amanda, is trying to get her to work out. But do you guys address nutrition? I know perhaps you guys aren't nutritionists, but how do you guys deal with that to help them out?
Yeah, so I try to leave a lot of autonomy to our coaches to run their chapters in the way that they see fit for the athletes that are in front of them. For my own specific chapters that I've led, whether it be in St. Louis or here, we do talk about nutrition. One of the simple ways that I learn about some of their habits is I start class with a question of the day. And so oftentimes it's, what's your favorite food? What's your go-to snack? And we like learn about our athletes through those questions. Not only does it kind of break the ice a little bit, but it also gets us to know about their lifestyle and their habits and allows us to kind of take a step in and talk through how addressing some of the things that they do at home, the habits they have at home, it will help them in the fitness setting and help them feel healthier and stay healthier long-term. You know, it really depends on the athlete, how, you know, there are different cognitive abilities across of our athletes. So there are some athletes that you can't quite have that conversation with, and there are some who are really receptive to that conversation. So it's kind of just knowing your athlete, knowing what they're interested in or what they're able to comprehend, and then bringing it to their level and helping them understand through conversation or even just by example. And I think that that's a really big thing that matters as well. One of the beautiful things that I noticed in our chapter in St. Louis was that the parents who weren't necessarily active were watching their kids thrive in this fitness community and were often intrigued to participate themselves. And so now their parents are learning about fitness, learning about nutrition, and they're at home able to maybe have some of those conversations that we as coaches won't necessarily be able to have all the time. So we don't address it directly, but I know a lot of our coaches live very well by example and do have occasional conversations with the athletes that's appropriate.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and it's amazing how it trickles, right? When people catch the bug, they see the difference it's making in their kids. They don't want to lag behind. That being said, you mentioned earlier about, you know, cognitive differences. What are the criterias? You know, can somebody be too far mentally disabled to participate? You know, for safety reasons, not because you don't want to.
Right.
How do you determine who can participate and not?
Yeah, so I equip all of our chapter leaders with a intake questionnaire that they can send out to families. Typically, CrossFit itself can have a bad rap. So there's already a lot of hesitant people out there about CrossFit. So if a parent of a special needs child is willing to put their child into this program, that's already, in my head, a qualifier, because they know their child the best and they wouldn't be putting mm-hmm. them in this environment if they didn't think that they would at least be able to follow the basic guidelines of a fitness program. So that's kind of already a qualifier, okay. just simply signing up for the program. I would say parents are smart people and they know their kids and they know what they can handle. With the questionnaire, however, we do discuss and ask questions that help us understand behavior patterns so that the coaches can be best equipped to help manage that child and their needs in class. And so whether that is a direct volunteer or maybe a peer volunteer with someone who doesn't have special needs, you know, sometimes it helps to know more information so that we as coaches can come alongside best and equip and really help that athlete grow in that space without it being a hurdle. You know, some of those cognitive delays or inabilities to speak, some of those things we see quite a bit. But having a lot of times volunteers that will come alongside closely is our best tool to help them thrive. So I think gathering information from the parents and then applying that to their time in our class has been the most successful way to involve everybody. We have, you know, I've had personally a couple nonverbal athletes. And so just learning how to communicate with them in their own way, because they do communicate in their own way. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of learning what that style looks like and enabling that in the classroom environment with all the other factors going on. So that's kind of how we address those things. And we haven't, at least not that I'm aware of, I've not ever turned anybody away from the program. And I don't believe any of our coaches have either.
That's awesome, because everybody, regardless of whether you're 100% healthy or, you know, on the spectrum or even in a wheelchair, everybody can benefit from physical fitness. And I'm glad, you know, for the most part, we're not turning people away because everybody can use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's essential that fitness is accessible to everyone, whether it be intellectual delays or a beginner that's terrified to take that first step. It's vital to do everything we can to make it accessible for everyone.
Absolutely.
You spoke about having about 8 to 9 chapters. What's the goal? Mm-hmm. You know, what if you can snap your fingers and have it the way you envision it, what would it look like?
Right. Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because I'm so happy with the 8 to 9 chapters we have. And this is more than I could have ever dreamed the program being. So I already feel like my vision and mission have been blown out of the water. because while this was like a 10-year goal for me that happened in like 2 years. And so I already feel so grateful and I would be so content if this is what I got from the work that I put into this program. However, you know, I want to impact as many athletes as I possibly can through the vehicle of other coaches. It's a little bit niche because you have to have someone who's equally passionate about fitness and the special needs community. And I do meet with all the coaches one-on-one prior to them launching, just to kind of make sure that they're going in with the right mind and that they are equipped to work with special needs students and athletes. So it is a little bit niche and I don't want to just throw this program at anybody who will take it. So, you know, I would love to be in more gyms across the US and Canada. The rate that we're growing has been really, really manageable for me as a stay-at-home mom with one, now almost 2 kids. I run this program during my nap time or the nap times of the kids. So it's like, you know, if it were growing exponentially faster than this, I'd be a little intimidated and would definitely just phone a friend. But like, I'm really hoping that we can inspire other gyms across the US and Canada, because I really want to impact as many people as possible through this. And I've seen the impact it's had for the families involved already. And it just would bring even more joy to bring that to more people. And so, yeah, I have no number for you, but I would love anybody who is equally passionate about this to jump and take the leap. It's a courageous leap to start something like this. So, you know, and we as the corporation try to make that process really smooth, and that's our goal, but it can still be a bit intimidating at first. So I think just wanting anybody who thinks even in the slightest that they might want to do this to just take the leap and have a conversation, I think it can spark something really amazing.
Before we continue with the rest of the interview, though, where can people contact you if they're interested? Like, what's the best way to reach you?
That was going to be my question.
Amazing. Same page. I love it. The best way to contact is our website. We have a tab at the top that says Launch a Chapter. And through that, I get all your information from your name, your email, to where your gym is located, phone number. And then it also gives a section for the interested individual to describe what inspired them to even reach out. So I get to know a little bit before talking, what's inspired you to kind of inquire about starting a chapter. And from that point, we start an initial meeting. I plan a Zoom call. We talk through who they are, what's inspired them, what their gym community is like, why they want to bring this to their gym community. And then we kind of see if it's a good fit. So the website is the paramount way to get in touch with us. That's kind of the best mode of communication for me. It keeps everything streamlined, but I've also had people just DM me on Instagram and say, hey, what's happening? I want to start a chapter. Help me do that. So I keep it casual over here, but I've tried to streamline the processes. So uniquelabeledfitness.org is our website, and that is the best way to get in contact with us.
Heard that, uniquelyablefitness.org, if you are interested in starting a chapter or just to get more information. And we need to spread this across the nation because, you know, more and more kids are being diagnosed on some sort of spectrum, and we all need physical fitness. It is paramount for the health, not only of the individual, but of the nation, as I see it. You know, a couple of years ago, a movie came out called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And unfortunately, that's the majority of America, whether you're on the spectrum or not. And so we all need to be in tip-top shape. Go ahead, Jody.
What do you think the CrossFit community, like the open, do you think that they'll ever open the doors to allow, I know they have adaptive for those with physical disabilities, but intellectual disabilities, do you think that will ever happen? Or
let's push for it.
What are you?
Yeah. Right. I do. I do think that will happen. I had the privilege of editing a educational textbook. It's kind of textbook I use loosely. Segment on training individuals with Down syndrome in the CrossFit community. So it's a excerpt for a textbook or an informational, whatever you want to call it, that will be utilized in the CrossFit community from somebody who is writing for the CrossFit community. So I see the wheels turning. I know of other programs who are more heavily involved in trying to really spearhead in the CrossFit world in the competitive space. I think that's not where I'm at personally right now, but I hope to get there one day and be able to inspire our coaches to sign their athletes up for the open and, you know, be able to participate in the community in a bigger way. CrossFit headquarters, I think, you know, they're constantly evolving and they've done a good job of progressively taking feedback and applying it to their adaptive community. And I think that that will hopefully flow over into the IDD community as well. So I have hope for it. I don't know if it'll be an immediate change, but I do hope that that is someday something that is normal for the CrossFit community to have something like this program as part of their gym, that then can be a part of some of those classic CrossFit events.
That would be amazing, because I know my son was like, Mom, one day I'm going to be at the open. I'm like, yes, you are, buddy.
Oh, I
just
love it.
Keep working.
Exactly. Right. Right.
And it's amazing how kids, when they catch the bug, they're all in. You know, they really want to get involved. And so it's good to see this, because we need more. Like Jody, you said a couple of minutes ago, we need to get the kids off the iPads and back, mm-hmm. you know, into physical fitness, walking, biking, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Christiana, that it's a slow moving process, but you mentioned earlier that 2 years and here you are.
Right.
So it could happen right. quickly as well. Are most right. of your chapters spread out throughout the 8 or 9 are spread out throughout the nation, or are they concentrated near St. Louis and East Coast? Where are they?
No, I have been so shocked at like how diverse in terms of location our chapters have been. Like I have the only chapters that are in the same state are the two I have in Indiana. So I am like, but other than that, we have one in California. We have one in New Brunswick, Canada. We have one in Virginia that started yesterday. We have, you know, they're all over the place. So it's really been amazing to see just the diversity in location. I've also been shocked at that because I'll get an inquiry. I'm like, wow, another state is representing Unique Labeled. How cool is that? So I feel grateful that it's been kind of widespread, because I think that's important for communities to, it's not only centralized in one space, but that it can impact their own, you know, local areas too. So I think that's been really, really a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you know, for example, we belong to that community we were telling you about, the Fitbox community, to know right. that since our little meetup in Tucson, Arizona, there have been smaller mm-hmm. meetups, because it fosters that right. inspiration. So as you continue to grow,
right.
it'll inspire somebody else and somebody else. And so it's great. It's great to hear. Well, go ahead, Jody. I'm
no,
cooking up a question.
You're good.
No, okay.
Go cook.
So how's your sister doing now? And how has she responded to the exercise? You know, now that she's, you've got her, use her as your guinea pig.
right. No, my sister is really great. She is part of a fitness community in her area. Her and my brother-in-law actually go to a university in Wisconsin that is for individuals, adults with special needs. And so they've had the really fortunate opportunity to study there and be part of a local CrossFit community there as well. And so that has just been really cool to see her. You know, I think she doesn't love exercise quite as much as I do, so she mm-hmm. takes a little bit more of a push, but she does enjoy the community. She's a social butterfly, so she has really loved that. My brother-in-law, Matthew, is one of the most competitive people ever, and he loves CrossFit, and he, like, lives and breathes, like, the Avengers and CrossFit and ice cream. Like, those are his, like, three loves, and so I feel like it's been fun to see them inspire that in one another. I mean, just like my husband and I, like the fact that we are both holding each other accountable in the fitness world, the fact that both of them have been kind of introduced to the CrossFit world and what exercise looks like, they can kind of inspire that in each other. And so I think it's been really fun to see them grow in confidence mostly in their abilities. And also when they're looking at their siblings, especially my brother-in-law, I mean, he's looking at three older, very athletic brothers, and he can say, like, I can keep up with them to some level, you know, whereas maybe a couple years ago prior to exercise, he couldn't necessarily do that. Like, the first session I had with him, I thought he was going to just pass out on a 400-meter run, and now he's, like, running miles. So, like, you know, it's just fun to see the confidence build in their social relationships and how they can keep up with those around them. So it's been really fun to see.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about how have you seen her personality change as well. But you mentioned your husband. Before you met him, was he already mm-hmm. into fitness himself? And how has he supported you in this endeavor?
Yeah. My husband's far more athletic than I will ever be. I mean, he just has a natural athleticism about him. He played soccer pretty competitively in high school. He decided to study engineering, which is a pretty rigorous major. So he didn't opt to play soccer at our university, though I think he would have totally thrived in that environment. He, similar to myself, just kind of with his buddies, exercised in the general fitness area and just kind of did his own thing. He ran some. And so when him and I started dating, I kind of introduced him to the CrossFit world, and he was very annoyingly better at a lot of things than me already. And so I was like, never mind, don't enter this space. I'm kidding. No, he started doing CrossFit with me and ultimately was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I want to keep doing this. I think doing it together was really impactful. And then his parents got into it, which is really cool. Mm. My mother-in-law actually just received her L1. So she's like learning all about the CrossFit community. And then my brother-in-law,
my ignorance. What's L1?
You're great question. The CrossFit level one is like the first level of training that you receive. If you are pursuing coaching. So okay. It's like the first mm-hmm. level. It goes up to, I think, a level 4 or 5. I have my level 2. It's kind of an introductory course to like the methodology of CrossFit.
Okay.
So yeah, she just received that, which is awesome.
Jody's the CrossFitter here.
Yeah, totally. She knows all the lingo. Totally. Yep. No, I should clarify for non-CrossFitters. We have our own like language, don't worry.
Most groups do.
So it's been cool. They do. It's been cool to see the impact even outside of my husband into his family, and then my parents also participate in CrossFit. So okay. I think just it's been fun to see the just kind of the process of how, like you said, once you get the bug, you just kind of it starts to pass along to those around you. And so it's been really neat to see that kind of progress and impact our families as a whole. So mm-hmm.
If you're listening to the Mindful Muscle podcast, you can find them at uniquelyablefitness.org. Let me ask you, if a parent is not knowing what to do, like is on the fence, how do they assess? How would you help them assess their own child to see if they're ready for something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the first easy tool that you can do from home is to simply look at our social media page, which I think is right below my little picture here. We really try to help people, parents especially, visualize what a class is going to be like. And so that's just something from home that they can observe and see, okay, well, maybe my kid could participate in that. And then I would say the next step from there is on our website, there's a chapters tab at the top that you can go and find your local chapter. And they, on those pages, have the direct link to the coach. So it's an email link. You click that, and you can have direct contact with whoever's leading that chapter. And just even ask for a one-on-one. Some of those mm-hmm. those individual one-on-one sessions where your kid can walk around the gym, you can look and observe a class, even just a one-on-one session, and just kind of see if it's a good fit. So I would say sometimes the best way to kind of get involved is to simply reach out, see what the options are for meeting individually, and then also potentially participate in a class just as a trial. I encourage most of our chapters to have a first class free just so that parents don't have to commit right away, but that they can kind of see if it's a good fit.
Okay. And what would you say is a parent's initial anxiety or initial like fear that they have to overcome? Because pumping iron and exercising, it is a commitment. And so sometimes, they may have some fears.
Yeah. I think there's a couple general ones. I would say, first and foremost, it depends on their student or their child. They know some of the obstacles that their kid has. And so I think just an initial fear would be like, is my kid going to feel socially comfortable? Are they going to behave in class? Are they going to respond well to instruction? I think some of those general behavioral fears come into play. I also think a big one is, will this coach understand my kid? Will they truly understand and embrace their unique set of challenges? And I think that it's hard to promote that and say, yes, we will, because it really is something that you have to experience firsthand to know, yes, this coach cares about my kid, and every day that they come in here, they're embraced and known and loved. So I think that is a barrier as well that can really only be overcome by just participating. And then I think the third would be truly just like safety. I mean, my parents, when I started CrossFit, worried about my safety. So it's a very normal thing for, I think, people to be a little cautious about some of the exercises and whatnot. And to that, I think one of the things that I help support our chapters with is programming for all levels. So you're having options for somebody who's maybe not ready for a dumbbell. And then you have an option for somebody who's ready to throw that dumbbell overhead and do multiple reps. So knowing that there is specified adaptive programming for their student that will meet them exactly where they're at, it's just kind of a reassurance to help them overcome that safety fear as well. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
And if there are any parents that are listening to this and they know there's a chapter in their community and you're on the fence, I can tell you if all the other chapters are like Downingtown, you have nothing to worry about. As somebody that is up close and personal and takes the photos without the coaches seeing me, there is a lot of genuine love for these kids and what they do. And it's actually, I had the opposite experience. I didn't have the anxiety that you describe parents might have. I actually felt relief because I'm like, if this is what they're doing, my child will be accepted and nobody will, there won't be an unkindness because they're different than other kids. In fact, it was such a relief for me.
If somebody wants to be a coach for this community, are there any extra certifications? How do they go about preparing themselves to minister to this community?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't personally require any of our coaches to have any level of certification. I don't feel like I can require that, being that I'm representing the CrossFit community, but I'm not really coming from CrossFit HQ. I'm kind of just doing CrossFit methodology in my own way. So I don't require them to have any. I do encourage the L1. The L1 does a really good job of teaching class management that obviously is tailored to your neurotypical community, but can really apply to managing just a group of people in general. So I always encourage getting your level one for CrossFit is just going to be a helpful tool in your toolbox, but I don't think it's necessary to start a chapter. Other than that, one of the things I look for is just experience in the special needs community, because none of the skills that we're really working on are so high level that you need some type of degree to figure them out. You know, I think that if you're even just an athlete at a CrossFit gym, which a lot of these coaches are simply just athletes at their gyms, they're not even coaches themselves, they're familiar with the movement patterns and can teach that. But working with the special needs community and knowing how to work with different abilities and different challenges is a whole nother set of skills that you really can't get a degree for. It's just, sometimes it takes just a little bit of like a specific type of person to really understand that community and have the compassion to work with them. But I think it also takes someone who is just naturally gifted in that way. And so that's why those initial conversations, I get to kind of see their heart for that community and see how they've already been involved with it and what skills they bring to the table to help manage a class of special needs kids. And so, you know, I think I don't really think there's any educational programs necessarily out there that are tailored to fit exactly what we're doing. Yeah. So it's just a little mix of some CrossFit knowledge and an ability to love people fully and no matter where they're at, that I think is the perfect recipe for a good coach. So
awesome. Yeah. Love will go a long way in whatever field. If you really love what you're doing and you love the people you're working with, that'll go a long way. Earlier, we spoke about, you know, a parent going for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. No commitment. What is typically a first day like for someone who is coming to visit? Or maybe, someone who signed up. What's like their first day like? Walk us through that.
Yeah, so, you know, the launch period for a chapter is a bit more simplified. You know, you're starting to introduce the movements on a really slow level and you're really breaking things down so that all of the baseline movements are understood by your athletes. But then you're going to get an athlete that joins 8 weeks later and they're going to come into class and have no idea what the heck an air squat is. And so that is where having the scaling levels is really important, because somebody can pop into class 8 weeks into the program and can still do the workout at an appropriate level for them. So, you know, a first class is going to really look like just jumping in, truly. It's going to be having your athlete join a group of people, and the coach will be far more attentive to that athlete as they are unfamiliar, and more than likely a volunteer will be paired with them so that they can have that one-on-one direction and feedback in real time so that they're participating safely and appropriately for their skill level. So I think the beauty of CrossFit is that you can start at any point, and that is kind of what we try to emulate in the program as well, is that you don't have to go through this onboarding process to begin. There's going to be some level of scaling available for you in any class that you join. So that's kind of the approach we take. And it seems to pay off really well for people who do want to join later on.
That's awesome, because like you mentioned, anybody can come in at any point and they'll get that one-on-one attention. Remember, I'm new to CrossFit. I really don't know a lot. So you mentioned like 8 weeks later, is there a specific like, a 12-week program and then it like starts again or graduates to another level? Like, do they go by week sections or is it just day-to-day something different?
This is another area where I give the coaches a bit of autonomy. The Downingtown chapter does a session approach. So they commit for 8 to 12 weeks and they run their session for them. They may have a couple week break and then they do it again. And so that gives, you know, a chance for new people to sign up and have kind of a starting point for signing up. Anytime that I've personally run a chapter, I've just run it open-ended. There's no end date. You just come in whenever you want to and we'll take you as you are. So there's a couple different approaches there. I think both of them are effective, and I think it's just a matter of like preferred management from the coach's perspective. So I think, in the general CrossFit world, I mean, you just kind of go until you don't. And so that's the approach I've taken, but I really think that they're both effective and in a really unique way. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I mean, this has been great. Jody, unless you have any other conversations, I've learned so much. And once again, that website is uniquelyablefitness.org. You can look at the tab in the top to start seeing if you want to run a chapter yourself, or if you want to look for a chapter that you may have a family member, a son, a daughter, a husband, a friend who wants to get physically fit, and you're able to do that there. Look, this has been a learning experience for me. If you had one parent who is scared that their child may get hurt, give them that last inspiration to take them over the top and get their kid physically active.
Right. I would tell that parent, simply take the leap. It will affect your kids' well-being in ways that you never imagined. Fitness has such an impact on our mental health and our physical health and our social health. And I like to enable the differences in all of our athletes, and they are just like you and me when it comes to their need for exercise. So waiting to get them participated will make it harder long-term because it becomes even more unfamiliar. I think starting exactly where they're at in a community that will take them as they are is going to be the best way to get their foot in the door. And hopefully that will inspire a passion for fitness themselves. I had an athlete who I had to fight to work for more than 30 seconds at a time, who now has asked for Christmas weights for her bedroom. And it's just amazing to see the impact and how fitness becomes possible and lovable for them. And I think, the program itself inspires coaches who are equipped to love your kid and to empower your kid. And we don't let anybody through the door that would not take care of them. So reassurance from the founder of the program that your kid will be taken care of and that we will do our best to help instill good habits that will last for a long time.
That is awesome. And if you're listening, you can reach out to Christiana and Jody as a parent who is not part of the company itself, but she is involved because her son is involved. And so it's an awesome opportunity to learn more and to be active. All of us need to be more active. Jody, any final words before we sign off?
I want to thank you. I am so grateful that you had that conversation with your sister, because it's such a relief that my son gets to be physically active and be accepted, and not just accepted, loved for who he is. So I really appreciate everything that you do. And if there's anything I can do to help support you, please don't hesitate to ask.
And same here for
it's
me.
It's been such an honor.
Yeah. If you ever need to, you know, send out an announcement, we can throw it on the Mindful Muscle podcast, and whoever it reaches, we're here to support.
Yeah.
One last thing. I believe that your program is doing donations. So please, anybody that is interested in showing support, please visit their Instagram, visit their website, and see how you can help out.
And we will post links in the description, either by tonight or tomorrow, if you want to donate. As a matter of fact, I will lead by example. I'll make a donation myself. I don't know how big, how small, but I'll make a donation myself, because we have to lead by example. And like I said, I have a cousin named Chloe who is on the spectrum. And so thank you very much. All right, everybody. Yeah. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Mindful Muscle Podcast, sponsored by F5 Challenge. And thank you once again, Christiana.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.